Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
Well, hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today as we're getting ready this week, as we're doing the show and you're listening to it, is the week leading up to the start of the FedEx Cup playoffs. St. Jude Classic kicking things off, and the FedEx St. Jude Classic and Championship, and they're going to be playing the first round. 70 guys got in, and we'll talk about that a little bit, and who's in and who didn't quite make it, and on and on and on. Then we'll go through the next rounds of the playoffs. LIV Golf also making headlines about what they're doing and what the expectations are. You know, it's been kind of on thin ice for a while now, but they, meaning the executives at LIV Golf, are making some clarifications, right, and some statements about where they're going in the future. We'll talk about that as well. A lot of stuff happening in the world of golf. As always, it seems like just every week there's something going on. Frank Bassett is with us, as always, also in the Nashville studios. How's everything in Nashville today?
Yes.
Frankie Frank?
It's beautimus. Beautimus, yeah. In Nashville.
You like it there?
Yeah, it's okay. Good. I mean, it's hot. We're going to have 100-degree air temperature, which is going to equate to about 110.
Right.
Oh, God. Unbelievable. Yeah. Phoenix is cooler than this place. I mean, really.
Yeah.
I was talking to my good buddy Roger out in Phoenix, and they're better off than we are here in Nashville. And you in Dallas, I know, you guys are like in a dust bowl right now.
We've
no
had
rain
a
forever.
Big drought. Like, you know, and people, I had a friend say to me, and I guess he's right. He goes, you know what? I get tired of people saying, oh, it's just been, he goes, where do you think you live? I mean, it's Dallas in the summer. So it's to act like, oh, it's 104 degrees. Yeah, okay. And it was last year, and it was 40 years ago, and 80 years, and that's what it is.
Yeah.
In the summer. So he's right. I mean, you can't bitch about it too much, because it's next year will be the same thing. It's just what it is. You just kind of have to either deal with it, or.
Well, do you have a fan in your golf cart?
Go somewhere else.
Like I do?
I don't, but a friend of mine brings it, like a portable one. Is that what you're saying, like a portable that you clip on?
Yes.
Yeah, he does that. I don't have one. He does. And it's actually got a mister on it, right? Does yours have a little mister attached to the fan?
Yes. It I put a line into the vodka bottle, and it missed it right into my mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, good stuff.
Crazy.
No, it's tough. It's hot out there.
Yeah.
And the problem is I go through 2 to 3 gloves a round.
Oh,
I mean, they just get soaked, and so they're no good after that. So
you
know, I bought a case of gloves.
Right.
It's ridiculous. I'm just going to quit the game and take up watching TV. I mean, I'm going to watch, these young guys that are playing on the PGA Tour now. Right. I mean, let's face it. The 20-year-olds, 25, 24-year-olds are winning everything.
So many of them.
They're playing out of their head.
Yeah.
Unbelievably good.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a lot of talent that and they just keep coming, right? I mean, the young guys coming out of college that are just insane. Ben James, you know.
Michael Brennan. I mean, look what he did.
Michael Brennan. And if you go down to Jackson, right? Colvin.
Oh, I love Jackson Colvin.
I mean, and he's got the final spot, right?
Yep.
70 spot.
He was sitting on 70 for a long time, too. You saw it on his face. His eyes were big, and he was sweating blood bullets on his forehead.
And to think about it, though. Here's what's amazing. Again, talking about the young talent. He was finishing college in June, playing in the NCAA tournaments and everything, finishing at Auburn in June.
Yes.
And he's already earned enough points because he won, as we know, 3M. He won his third tournament out. He's got enough FedEx Cup points that he got it right in under the gate at 70, top 70 make it. He's number 70. And there are a lot of guys, as I was saying in the Open, that are named like Brooks Koepka and some other bigger name players like that did not make the top 70.
Nope.
So congratulations to Jackson. I mean, it's just an amazing feat, and it just shows you how, you know, the next wave just keeps coming. They're right there, ready to come in and join. And there's not that, it's almost like, you know, you talk about baseball and they get drafted and then they go in the minor leagues forever until you finally see them in the major leagues. These college golfers are ready for the major leagues.
Yes,
right out of the gate.
Well, they are because of AJGA, how they come up, and you know, they come up in that heated competition. That's what AJGA does to them.
College
programs
are
just like for the pros. They're incredible.
Yeah, I mean, they're just amazing how they're again coming right in. Now, that's certainly not everybody, and some of them still are going to go to minor tours for a while. but it's just, to me, it's, I just don't remember it when a Jordan Spieth or some of these guys would do it, almost that was like freakish. You'd be like, oh, how did he? Now it's expected. I mean, I think every year there's another handful of college guys that are going to come in, and if not win almost right away, like Coven, they're going to be top five guys. You're going to get fifth place at a U.S. Open or something.
Here's a little tidbit. I mean, eight of the last nine winners on tour were in their 20s. Eight of the nine last in their 20s.
There you go.
No, Jackson, Michael Thor Borgensen. I love trying to say that name. That's just so much
Stanford.
Fun.
Yeah.
Well, and the other stat, of the eight first-time winners in 2026, seven qualified for the FedEx Cup playoffs. It's incredible. These young kids are just really playing some great golf.
We've got a President's Cup coming up this year.
Yes, we do.
At Medina.
Captained by our good friend, Brant Snedeker.
Yep.
From Nashville. Yes, sir.
And you got to wonder, are some of those young guys going to be considered? You have to think about it, don't you?
Would you not consider Michael Brennan after his performance this year?
Yeah.
Especially at the Wyndham, when he went into the Wyndham at 105. He came out of the Wyndham at 47.
Yeah.
Hello. And just watch his game. I mean, I used to think McIlroy had the best balanced swing. Not anymore. I think Michael Brennan does.
Yeah.
His swing was incredible. And by the provident hand of God himself, he missed two OBs in that final round. He was OB twice, and God just went, blew on that ball, hit that tree, hit that pedestrian,
back,
you know?
And go back to Koivun, right? I mean, you're like, okay, that guy, you got to give him some consideration. Now, I get he's not a top 10 world golf ranking yet. You know, he's only like, I think he's 69 or 70, somewhere right around his FedEx Cup number. But look what he's done in 3 months. To be able to do that, you've got to have an eye on that guy going, this guy's game is ready. And let's be honest, we haven't done the right thing for most of our Ryder Cups. President's Cup has been a bit different because we've dominated that, but it's getting closer and closer, right? The world team is getting better and better and closer to competing with the U.S.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, as far as the makeup and the way that they put these teams together, we've proven that we're not doing a very good job of putting a good American team together, especially Ryder Cups. So maybe we got to look at it differently.
Do
we need a guy like Jackson, who isn't a top 10 or 15 world rank guy, but let's stop putting the buddies playing with the buddies system that we've always done and lost. Maybe we got
Who do you want to play with? Who do you want to play with? No, you're the captain. You tell them who the hell they're going to play with.
Yeah.
You know?
No, let's see. Who do you like? Who do your wives get along? Is that good? Do your kids play together? Okay. That's
too much. Look, you're here to play. You're here to win. You know, you're here to win. Yeah. So just
that kind of stuff,
win.
Right. And so maybe you need some of these good young guys that are fearless. I mean, seriously fearless. You and I, Frank, our fear has gone away as our age has gotten older. You see water on the right. I'm like, how far left can I hit this ball?
That's exactly what I do.
These guys,
I aim left and then I cut it right. You know,
yeah, they go right over the water. They draw it back again. They don't care.
Well, that's the problem with the guys who are getting older. They have some scar tissue. I mean, you hear that all the time, and they do. And I don't care. It creeps in. What about Hostler? What about old Bo? I mean, he just can't get it done.
No, he can't. He can't.
I hate that for him. He's such a nice guy, but the frustration was all over the place on Sunday.
So maybe it's one of those guys that'll, you know, forever and ever. I mean, he seems destined to be a guy who may at best win a tournament or two, even though he seems to have had a number of them slip through his hands. He's had a number of 54-hole leads. I think they showed a stat, six times on tour, he's had a 54-hole lead and hasn't won any of them, right? So it's like, okay, he's kind of there, but not on Sunday. And maybe he's just that guy that'll be...
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure he lives in a big, fine house with five Mercedes in the parking in the garage and blah blah blah. Right? He's got a great life, I'm sure. But wins is still.
He picked up 2.1 for second place.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, it's a good life to not necessarily win all the time on the tour. And there's a lot of guys, you know, that are out there that have had great careers for 20, 25 years on the tour without necessarily holding up a lot of trophies. If you can do what he does and get enough top tens and things like that, so. Yeah, I don't know. It's still got to be very frustrating, though, to say it. You're close, and then there's always somebody else that just you know, puts their and again, you look
put on your neck.
You used to be the good young guy, you know, and now you're 30-ish, and the
Jordan.
Good young guys are Jackson, and they're 21, and they're just tearing it up and coming right at you and putting their foot on your throat while they're doing it. got spike marks going up your back as they go over top. As they go over top of you.
Oh, like, God.
Yeah, somebody be nice to me.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And, of course, this week, the FedEx, you know, from my where I grew up, which is the Memphis, Tennessee area.
Yes.
West Memphis, Arkansas, Bassett, Arkansas, whatever, just right there. But we're going to have 110-degree, you know, feels like, in Memphis, as we always do every year at the tournament. Yeah. And then it's gonna, after next year, it's gone. Now, that's something.
Correct.
So I agree with moving the tour championship around, okay, not just East Lake every year. I agree with that. I think it was needed. But, you know, what happens with Southern Company and Coca-Cola in Atlanta, and what happens with FedEx, who puts how many millions into the tour every year? 60 million plus into the tour?
Right.
And Memphis goes away. So Memphis will be a tier two if it's anything there. Now, FedEx is saying we're not going to let, you know, Memphis lose this tournament. Well, I tell you, maybe they just need to think about Nashville.
Yeah.
Move it over here because you'll have a bigger following here, to be honest, in Nashville. Nashville's really become the it city. I don't like that, but it has. And I think that Nashville needs a tour stop. And I think this would be the perfect time. And I don't know who's talking to whom, but a perfect time to set this thing up to move into Nashville for the tournament.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, it's, we can talk about this too.
We had a live event here, Tim, and it was sold out. It was totally sold out. It was great.
Well, and that's what, and we'll talk more about Live too, but that's what Live has tried to do and has made a bit of a niche for themselves in going to markets and countries that don't have enough golf. And people are crazy about golf. It's still a bit of a niche sport. It's not the NFL, certainly, but if you go to the right places.
It's not the WNBA.
I watched last week's event, Live event in, was it?
Bedminster. Bedminster. Trump. At Trump Bedminster. Great crowds.
You know, I mean, you watch on TV and you see a lot of good crowds. So, as long as they're not overlapping where people are going, I already have a PGA Tour event. I don't need to be going to this. Liv's got that going. But
speaking of that in Bedminster. So here's Yehu Harry in his Cessna 150, you know, flying into the airspace as two F-16s go up on either side of him.
Oh, I never saw that.
Oh, yeah. Hey, buddy, you need to land. We needed to have a conversation.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Wow. Two private pilots did that, and our students, whatever they were. But can you imagine flying into restricted airspace when the president's there and you look out your window and you see this cute little F-16 beside you with missiles attached to it?
Yeah.
You go, oh.
Just like in the movies?
Yeah. Not a good day.
With the guy pointing down, like, you better land this thing.
Yeah. I think it would be better if they had just done the Top Gun thing and just gone over the top of him and gone upside down. And gave him the high sign.
A complete stupid question here, but those fighter planes, right?
They can go that slow.
Oh, they can. Okay, yeah, that's my question.
I knew you were going to say that.
Can you go 140 miles an hour, 120, whatever a Cessna would do, kind of just putting around? Can you do that? I guess you can.
Yeah.
I thought they had to go like at least 200 or 300, and then
just stay in the air.
To, yeah. Yeah. Then
because they don't have a lot of wingspan.
Yeah.
No, they can slow down.
Okay.
Have you never been to an air show?
I've only been, once, but who cares?
Air shows are fabulous.
Yeah.
But Blue Angels, Thunderbirds, all that. That's a blast.
I've been in a Blue Angel.
The most sunburned I've ever been was at the air show in Tampa at CENTCOM.
Yeah.
And where all you're doing is looking up in the air all day, you know, and my face was blistered.
That's where the action is.
Yeah. Really. Anyway, we will go to Live whenever.
Let me ask you this. So here we go, looking at 28
for the change.
Right?
Yeah.
So we have two different levels, the championship and so they announced, speaking of Bedminster and Trump, that Doral will be another event in the championship level. So now the championship level will be in the high dollar guys.
Yeah,
right?
the $20 million purse.
The $20 million purse, the bigger sponsors and all that are going to be the majors. They're going to be the Players' Championship. It's going to be major. I thought there was one more that was missing there. Okay, so that's five of them right there, just the majors, and those are considered in that level. Then they've also named Doral came in, so they got Doral is going to be at that level.
Yes.
Arnie's Tournament, right? Mm-hmm. Bay Hill.
Jack's.
Will be that. Memorial will be that. And then they have a tournament sponsor
and I can't even remember, but it was something like, and it's an insurance company, but it's like Como or something like that. Como is the sponsor. They don't know where or exactly when, but the sponsor's already in. So as long as you write the check or commit to the money, I guess
we'll
you're in. So,
put the tournament on in Bahalaha, Indiana.
That's another one, but they don't know exactly where or when yet, but they'll be in. So they're already kind of getting some of these. Now, I don't know if they're going to have enough. They announced that they're going to have somewhere, including the majors, they're going to have somewhere around 20, right, of those championships. The other ones are going to be the challenger level. I always wondered, what if they don't get 20? I
mean, they'll get 20. They'll get 20.
Well, I mean, they've got like seven, you know.
They'll get 20.
So, yeah, we'll see. But that's kind of where...
Well, what are you going to have in Texas? I mean, what's Dallas, what's going to happen with those tournaments in Dallas?
Talked to people at both tournaments, the Fort Worth tournament, which is the Schwab Challenge at Kelowna, right, and then Byron Nelson, and neither of them had said, they've both said they want to be there. Both tournaments have said they want to be at the championship level, but have not yet gotten there. Schwab has, I think, officially... certainly unofficially said they're not going to commit to $20 million.
Well, what about Riviera? Event. What about Pebble? What about,
I don't know.
You know, what's going to happen there? I mean,
you know,
he wants to be in the New York market. He said that, their commissioner of the PGA
Tour.
That's
a big part of it is big markets.
Big markets. Right? Yep. So
you got Houston, right? Is Houston going to get it, be in there and have,
you would,
I don't know, because
think,
Houston's tournament
know.
Right now is Texas. I'm trying to remember, but I think it's Texas Children's Hospital is their title sponsor.
Yes.
I think they have 20 million. So
they used to be the Shell Houston Open.
Right.
It was
forever.
Big time. Forever.
But then they changed, and that changed several years ago. And so,
right,
again, I think it's Texas Children's. If they're not going to put it
on. Rocket is gone. That's it.
Somebody up. Rocket's gone. You know, now I got
to. And Rocket's a huge company. I mean, they could have.
Yeah.
But, and Detroit is not exactly a major market.
They're all making, you know, these corporate decisions. And then so. Yeah, if you're in Houston, again, if Texas Children's Hospital can't do it or won't do it, you got Chevron, Mobil, you got oil companies. Well, you would think somebody would say, okay, we got $20 million.
What are you going to have in Atlanta? What's going to happen there?
Yeah, well, that's where you could find the Coca-Cola or the
Southern Company, Coca-Cola. Yeah, you know, I mean,
I'd say, okay, we're
those
worry
you
about
don't
that.
Know, Southern Company is.
What are they putting up right now for the Tour Championship? I don't know. You know, is Coca-Cola putting up? Are they splitting it? Are they?
They haven't. They haven't
said yet.
Because that
purse is $40 million, Frank. Right?
It's huge. Yeah, it's huge.
And FedEx is part of that too, right?
Yeah, they are.
It's all the FedEx got points
right
and all
now.
That. Yeah. But I don't know. That's the thing. Is these companies that all seem to be
the DHL championship?
Well, I mean, it's, yeah, yeah. We're not going to go with FedEx.
I don't think so.
Main competitor. But that's the thing is that these companies are going to make their corporate boardroom. You know, a lot of them are public companies and be able to justify and say, okay, are we spending $20 million because all of our VPs and our marketing people love hanging out at a golf tournament for a week. Right?
And the hospitality.
Yeah, and doing a party for a week. And people are going to go, okay, well, sorry.
Well, you and I get to
over.
Do that. It's kind of fun.
yeah,
all access.
Right?
Yeah.
Are they going to say, no, we're out. We can't keep doing it. I mean, Schwab's a major company. And Schwab's headquarters moved to
John Deere. I mean, John Deere.
Yep. Yep.
You know, that's been there forever,
yep.
You know.
But that's never been – John Deere's always been a lesser payout, right? Their tournament's always been
– Well, but the way they set
money.
That up, they put them on a jet and send them over to across the pond.
Do that part, but I'm
that
just
was
saying,
cool.
I think first place is only still 1.4
yeah,
something
like that
for John Deere. So they've never – and they've never drawn big crowds. And they've always been in their backyard, which is not in any sense.
Speaking of that, do you know what the payout was at Wyndham?
Yeah, first place was 1.5, wasn't it?
No. 3.6. It was $400,000 less.
No. First place was not 3.6.
Yeah.
At Wyndham.
Yeah.
No. I know that.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. You're right. I'm sorry. I'm looking at TPC Southwind. Okay.
Yeah.
This is the breakdown. 3.6 at Southwind.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. You're right. 1.4. That's right.
Wyndham was just another tournament, right? So all those companies are good.
Yeah.
A lot of them nationally known companies,
but
will they make that commitment? That's the kind of thing that everybody's got to have to look at. I think the people at CJ, the Byron Nelson sponsors, it's a big South Korean conglomerate.
Yes.
South Koreans love their golf. There are numerous South Korean pros that live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
I'm tired of watching BB Go commercials.
How that all happened. But there are literally like 20 South Korean men's and women's pros that live in Dallas. So they have a big crowd here. Okay, they like that. There's a... I think I read somewhere second as far as population, second largest South Korean population to LA is Dallas.
Yeah, I heard that.
That's happened. So I think CJ is committed and CJ would do that because again, they're food. We know the Biblico and stuff, but they're also, I think, appliances and airline parts. And, you know, they do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So I think they got the money.
Very diversified.
To do it. Yeah. But we'll see, you know, and we'll see if that's kind of what the road they want to go on, but that's where we're headed. That's the bigger picture in a couple of years for the more foreseeable future. How you seeing the FedEx Cup playing out here? It's been a year where Scotty has not, he's dominated
not
in the sense of getting a lot of points. He has not dominated in wins. He's only got the one win.
No.
He started the year with a win and looked, oh, here we go again. He's got another 5, 6, 7 wins and he's gotten 5 seconds instead. Like he's tied the record, I think, for the most runners up in a PJ Tour season.
To Jack
Nicklaus,
still is
dominating the FedEx Cup. If you looked at the numbers, Frank, he's got like 1,000 or more than 1,000 point lead on second place. Everybody else is like within, I think he's actually maybe got a 2,000 point lead. Everybody else is like within 100 points or 200 points or 15 points or whatever when you start going down to seventh place and eighth and ninth and tenth. So Scotty's still got a huge lead, had a huge year when it comes to that. But this is really, you know, kind of what he's going for. Is like, okay, I want to finish this season and stop these runner-ups. I'm interested to see how Scotty performs at East Lake this weekend.
Well, we'll see. You mean at East Lake at you mean in Memphis?
Oh, I'm sorry, the tour. No, I'm sorry. At Southwind.
Yeah,
in Memphis. Yeah.
I know. We you and I both are kind of. It was a long day yesterday.
Yeah.
maybe a long night.
He wants some wins, right? I mean, I think
he needs some wins. I mean, just for the fact that he needs to win something. But
yeah,
with all these kids, you know, firing bullets at him like crazy, you know, he's I don't know, psychologically, that's got to wear on you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And let's face it, Scotty's had a great run already. So I don't think anybody will ever sustain some of the runs that we saw in the past, like a Nicklaus or a Tiger Woods. I just don't think we're going to see that because there are too many really good ones out there. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, speaking of many good ones over on the LIV Tour, you know, LIV Bedminster was a big hit. A lot of people, a lot of money sold out.
A lot of attention. Yep.
Supposedly they have, you know, some money coming in.
Another win for Joaquin Niemann, too.
And I know. Unbelievable.
And that's probably not great for the LIV Tour because they want Bryson, right? They want the Rahm. They want their name guys to be more headlines. But Neiman's been dominant almost. He's won nine times in that tour.
Do you know his first win? Do you remember his first win?
Joaquin Niemann's first win?
He was at the Greenbrier.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, and the man who interviewed him on the 18th green was me.
Yep.
I was the first man up. I got to interview him. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, right on the 18th green. I came right down from the skybox there over 18. 18's a par 3 there.
And, That's right.
It was a great, great, great tournament, great fun. I hate that went away. Greenbrier's hard to get to.
And to
stay on campus is just a bit expensive.
There you go.
But,
they hosted
us that year.
And and Neiman's, you know, a very good player. And LIV has some very good players. And so they have said, the LIV, just to go back a few days, people that didn't hear the announcement, that the CEO of LIV has said, we are good. We've got a new sponsor, a new financial backing, if you will, because the Saudi people are backing out, as we know, after this year.
Yeah.
And the question was asked of him, okay, does that mean you're good for 2027? He said, and 28, and 29, and 30.
Yeah.
Meaning we've got a multi-year commitment for financing. Now, it's such, in the meantime, it has trickled out a little bit that there's a company and a hedge fund, I think, connected company that is also a financial resources company that's talking about a loan situation. And so now you're going, because he didn't name who the financial backer was going to be, right?
Right.
He didn't say, okay, we've got money and it's coming in and it's coming from Frank Bassett, right? He didn't name who it was. And so it's like, okay, are you borrowing the money, right? Is that, which is different than somebody investing money in you if you've got to pay it back somehow. But anyway, he said, we've got financial commitment to be able to go on for 3 or 4 more years and keep it going the way it's going. Now, does that mean the same purses as you and I are talking about?
That's hard to believe.
$4 each tournament. You're like, God, that's still a
that's
lot of money.
That's crazy money.
They still are very committed to the team thing. They still want to do. So now you've got millions of dollars going to winners and second place and fifth place, but you've also got more millions going to the team purses.
But
that's a lot of money.
They've got to promote the teams more and their broadcasts too. I mean, they try to.
I don't know who's on any team. Do you?
Yeah, I mean, I do, but just because I look at it. But
yeah, I don't keep up with it.
You know, Cam Smith's team and Bubba's team and, you know, the Crushers and the Fireballs, that's Sergio Garcia's team.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the team concept would be pretty cool, but you've got to sell it better.
Yeah.
They're not selling it good or well right now.
Well, they got to somehow get people to care about the team, right? I mean, you and I as fans have to – and
cheerleaders,
Joe Average fan,
have to
somehow care that the Crushers are going after the Fireballs right now.
They're stupid names. I mean, they came up with names in my opinion.
You came up with minor league kind of names, right? It's like
the Savannah Bananas, baby.
Yeah, I mean, you're doing it just.
How
as a gimmick.
Good is that?
Yeah, you're doing it for a gimmick. It's like
that's who they need to hire for marketing. The guy who started Savannah Bananas.
They just need to, I think, make that a bigger part if they're going to keep, which they are going to keep doing it. I've heard a lot of people say, I don't know one thing about that team concept and who's playing for a team and who's not. The players.
Again, they got to sell it. They haven't sold it.
That's what I mean.
To sell something, people have to understand what the value is, what the feature, advantage, or benefit, okay?
Yeah.
What are the features, what are the advantages, and what's my benefit?
Yeah.
And people buy benefits. They don't buy features or advantages. But you got to sell it, and they haven't done it.
Yeah,
so.
And so that's what's going to have to matter for people. And they've got to get a bigger TV deal going. I mean, right now, you can find them, but you got to kind of find
them. Fox. I mean, that's where they are.
Well, they're on FS1. You know, they're on Fox sometimes, not strictly. They certainly aren't in the CBS, NBC mode.
No,
almost anybody everywhere can figure out where they are every Saturday.
Well, sometimes,
The other part of it is they are very international, which is cool, but it also means you can't watch the Tokyo tournament at noon on a Saturday.
That's always been the issue with the Open Championship.
Yeah.
Got to get up at 3 in the morning to watch it.
You got to record it. You got to get up at 2 in the morning. You got to all these other things or watch it at midnight and stuff. That's a very – and I get they want to be international. I get they want these tournaments everywhere. But – and by the way, they're cutting down their tour next year. I think they're only doing 10, 12 events.
Yeah.
And I think they're half and half, half in the U.S. and half internationally. Again, a tournament in Australia is hard for people in America to keep track of.
Oh, that's impossible.
And follow it and care who won. You only find out as it trickles down 2 days later, you find out that Rom won in Australia. Oh, okay, I forgot they were playing over there. So that part is tough, too. Now, I get it. It's good for Australia. But do you need the U.S. audience, right? That's kind of the thing. Do you need – I think they do, right? I think
– well, yeah, you have to
be arrogant, but I think almost every sport –
they have
like
to have
World
us.
Cup. You got to have the U.S., right? I mean, you got to have.
And that we proved that with the World Cup. You said it. We proved that with the World Cup. It was the biggest ever.
Yeah. And so
and then we know that they like ranch dressing. So there.
Liv needs to really capture a U.S. audience. If, again, they're going to get some TV on. So, and that's what I think.
We could help them with that.
A backer's going to do, right? That's what a backer's going to say, okay, where's my return, right? If I don't have a big TV audience, or if you're telling me that your tournaments are going to be in Spain or in Tokyo, and they're at 10 at night and in 3 in the morning, I don't have a good TV audience for that, right? Where's my money going? That's, I think, the tricky part to get an investor to go, I'm all in, because it's not U.S. centric, right?
Yeah.
Now, maybe the investment is international, so they don't care because they're a world global company or hedge fund people that are going, well, we'll still capture the European audience when they're in Europe. Okay, well, then maybe that makes sense to them, even if you and I aren't going to watch because it's, 2 in the morning. Anyway, complications, but keep going is my point. That's what we're saying is Liv is not done.
Liv is not dead.
They said they're going to let the guys play on every tournament, every tour. So don't know that that will be reciprocated by the PGA Tour, but they have said, and their president has said, that they're going to allow their players to play when they're allowed to on European Tour, Asian Tour, and PGA Tour when they're allowed to by those tours. So,
well, I don't know if the PGA Tour is going to play ball with that.
We'll see. That's the thing.
There's still a lot of arrogance in Camp.
I'd like to see Ron play. I'd like to see Cam Smith play more. I'd like to see DJ play. I mean, we don't see any of these guys until they get to a major, and DeChambeau. And I'm not saying there's 50 live guys I want to watch, but I want to watch
Joaquin. I mean,
a good 10, 12.
I'd like
12
to see
them.
Him go head to head against some of the young boys now.
Yeah,
which he once was.
I want to see Sergio tear up a tee marker. spit on the PGA
in a cup.
Tour, you know?
I'm telling you, cheerleaders, they can sell it.
Yeah.
And we can help them do that. I'll be happy to coach the cheerleading team for Liv Golf. I'm all in. I'm all in for that.
Frank,
yeah, I did. We did have a conversation with Liv, as you know, and several conversations about Golf Talk America and how we could work together.
Yeah.
Never came to fruition because of our relationship with the PGA Tour. I didn't want to jeopardize that. So,
I mean, and that's what's interesting. You know, not in our case, but I mean, just in the will the PGA Tour and their whole, you know, Rollup and their CEO and their guy, will he play ball with Liv, or are they going to just treat them as stepchildren and kind of try to keep them down? I don't know. If they're going to be doing what's best for, I think, golf fans and golfers, they would, and say, okay, here's what's best. Let's figure out a way to make this. They get so many exemptions and they can play in five tournaments on our tour, something like that. And I don't know how you'd qualify, but that'd be good for fans. Cause I don't really care about the rest of it. Right. Do you care? Do fans care how much money they make? Or I don't really care. I do want to turn on a tournament like this weekend and see, okay, there's 70 players. I'd like to see a dozen Liv guys playing in this week as well.
Yeah,
I like to
see
be
fun.
Right.
It would be fun. Well, no, this week can be kind of hard since it is the playoffs. We're in the playoffs. So here we go. 2 weeks and then the championship. So
and it goes to and then the President's Cup, Medina, where you and I have spent some time.
Oh yeah,
back in the day.
Back in the day.
Yeah, and
where the hotel caught on fire and they had to run in and get Phil Mickelson's golf clubs out of the room next to mine.
We were right next to the club.
We were right there.
Remember, we went had to almost hop a fence.
Well, I called. I reached out to those guys. There at the resort, what's it called?
Eaglewood, something like that. Yeah,
because they set up a stage for us. We were in the lobby. James Patterson came over. Remember, we were talking to him
and
Rich Lerner. Everybody was on the show.
Cool.
But the entire management staff of that thing has changed. Nobody's there. I called them a couple of months ago. I just wanted to reach out and say hi and thank you and. Hey, can we have a room for the President's Cup?
All the people you had drinks with every night, Frank.
Yeah, I know. I think
no
they all died of
whatsoever.
Cirrhosis.
Didn't all the drinking you did for the sake of our show?
You took one for the team. I take it. I do. I just Glenn Levitt for the team.
You took a fifth for the team.
A half gallon. What are you talking about?
Yeah, and it didn't pay any dividends coming this time. Well,
I know.
We'll see what happens. That'll be the President's Cup. That's down the road. We'll have time to talk about that. But
yeah, we will.
But there is so much going on in golf. So, again, and I know you made a little quip about the WNBA. They're getting a lot of attention for all the wrong reasons.
All the
stupidest things that they're doing.
It's the women's.
People are talking about that. But people are talking golf a lot.
They are.
I think, you know, whether it's live, good, bad, people are still talking a lot about golf. And that's good.
Why don't some of the guys go play on the LPGA? I mean, let's sign up for that.
Yeah, could they? We'll see.
Could they? I mean, they probably wouldn't want to do it because they probably wouldn't win.
I don't know what their
they wouldn't. I mean,
I don't know what their bylaws would be. You know, as far as I don't know how.
I don't know. We want to be inclusive now. You know.
I know. Well,
not
as Bob Costas said, going to that down that political road for just 1 second, if I could. And Bob Costas, in general, former sportscaster, he's not around an awful lot anymore. But anyway, is generally a pretty liberal guy, right? He's kind of into a lot of different issues that are generally more on the liberal end of the spectrum.
Yes.
So, okay, that's
yes.
to preface that. But when asked about the whole thing of athletes playing, whether it's Olympics or anything else, and transgender athlete stuff, he said, I think it just comes down to common sense. He said, there's a reason high school teams don't play college teams. Because physically they're not on the same level, and those college boys and a high school football college high school team would get literally broken in half against the University of Alabama or something like that. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, Indiana,
you would never do it.
Yeah.
I'm sure Indiana, you would never do it, right? He said, and likewise, as good a boxer as Sugar Ray Leonard was, he would never fight Mike Tyson.
No,
because they're in a different weight class. There's a reason. There's a common sense that a 150 pound guy should not fight a 230 pound guy who would literally almost kill him.
Correct.
And that's a good way of looking at it. It's like just use some common sense and say, it doesn't take a lot to figure out why there are divisions in different sports like this. This is why we see it. So this whole WNBA thing, and Frank's reference was there a couple of former NBA players that are now saying, hey, I'm putting my hand up because I want to get drafted by the WNBA.
Yeah.
You guys are saying anybody can play, and if I want to say that I identify as a woman and you're going to let me play. I'm into the WNBA. Give me $500,000.
I can't wait to see those two boys in dresses. It's going to be hilarious.
I'll average 50 a game.
And they will.
Now it's on the table. So
the lawyers that are sitting there beside them go, if they won't let them, we'll sue them. So here we go.
Right. I mean, it's a farce. It really
is. It is a farce. They're doing it as a
farce. They're trying to put their feet to the fire and say, well, if this is the way. And the one guy, I think, the one former NBA guy who's not a big name player, Frank, I think he's running for office somewhere. And I think he's using this as his
platform. He's going to be running for county line.
He's running for like U.S. Senate or state senator or something like that.
State senator, I think.
And so this is kind of his, let me get some attention, as a politician. So
no thanks. I don't want attention.
That's the stuff that the WNBA is getting that they don't need.
Well,
that's all W stands for women,
I think. So
that's what they're getting.
Last time I checked. I just liked the foul, the blatant foul. I thought that was an uppercut. Took her out.
Decapitated.
Oh, yeah. Man. It was great. I loved it. No, that's a way to play. Fight it out.
Play it tough. Yeah. Now, if you let them box, that would be a whole other sport.
Mud wrestling, Tim. Get it going. Okay. Anyway, I think we've about worn this out, haven't we?
I think so. I think we covered everything. Looking forward to Memphis, this weekend, top 70.
I'm going to take off, go over there. So
they move on to the BMW, which would be in the St. Louis area, and then the tour.
Belle Reve, where they had the that where Brooks won a PGA championship at Belle Reve? I believe. Yes. Memphis is hot, and St. Louis is hotter.
Yeah.
It's going to be brutal.
Is a steamy place, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, St. Louis. I went to college not too far from St. Louis. And, it's also hot. And so, we'll see how these guys.
The only reason you went to class is because you had air-conditioned classrooms.
I will say this. People don't give enough credit, and I'm saying this as I just played golf last couple of days and last week, too, here in Dallas, hot as get out. I will say this, and it's one day, and I know I'm a lot older than these guys and everything else. It sucks the energy right out of you. You're literally done playing it. You got to give these guys credit that they're playing in these conditions 4 days in a row and practice rounds and practice and hitting balls before. Now they're putting in a lot of work that people think it's golf. It's leisurely. It's a stroll by the lake.
No, it ain't.
These guys physically, and people act like it's a very physically demanding as well as mentally demanding sport, especially this time of year with these things and this much money on the line. And they're going to be fatigued as hell. I promise you. These next two tournaments in St. Louis and Memphis, they're going to drop 20 pounds and they'll be drinking those fluids. They see them walking on the fair with their bottles of pink and whatever colors are in there. Who knows what's in that bottle?
But plus, you have lights and everything in the trailer, the physio trailers, and that you have IVs too if they need it. So.
Have to. I mean, that's what I'm saying. So I got to give them take a hat off to these guys. It's a lot more about the physical part than anybody really gives them credit for. You'll see. Their shirts will be stuck to their backs.
Oh, yeah. Well, they'll be changing shirts and gloves. You'll see them changing gloves, shirts, everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember Tiger going through three shirts. I believe it was in St. Louis, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
When he did.
You could tell the darker the shirt, the more you see it, right?
Yeah.
The white shirts don't show it so much.
No.
People kind of might. But Tiger's dark red shirts all the time would be literally stuck to his back on the third hole of some of these tournaments.
Well, Tiger would sweat more than anybody I've ever seen on a golf course.
He did sweat a lot.
Yes, he did. Anyway, Memphis is going to be fun. We're going to have a good time. Like I said, I'm going to head over that way.
Good.
So we'll see about it.
And see how many times you can mention ponchos. The over-under is 13.
Poncho's cheese dip, my favorite cheese dip. But it's been bought out by a different company. It's not the same as it used to be.
In one show, Frank will say ponchos.
I love ponchos cheese dip.
They're there,
but it's not there anymore. I mean, you can still buy it and like Publix has it. And it's close to the original, but not as good.
So, and what's it called?
Poncho's Cheese Dip.
There's three.
There you go. Did I say Poncho's Cheese Dip?
Four.
Love it. You heat the chips, you get them dip at room temperature, but you heat the chips.
Frank, every time you say Poncho's, I'm going to go ding.
Ding.
Ding, 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 ding. Frank's going to have a count going over here next to me.
Thank you to PXG, PXG.com. Go check them out. They're great. I play PXG, love PXG, and I think Tim has somebody he wants to shout out to, too, before we
go. Yes, and that's about our title sponsor. And that, of course, would be Invited Clubs. Invited Clubs, make sure you check them out. They've been going around since 1957, founded right here in Dallas, I'd like to add. But they have clubs all over the country. They have approximately 17,000 employees at all their different clubs. That just tells you how much They love the sports. They love the pools, the pickleballs, everything they do at their different clubs. They've got the people to handle all of it. Over 150 owned or operated golf clubs and city clubs all over the country. So check them out at invitedclubs.com, invitedclubs.com, and you'll find one near you. And they are amazing people that don't just own these clubs, they also update them constantly. And that's a big part of it, is they put funding back into it and make sure
they
stay state of the art. So there you go.
We love them. Thank you, Invited. Thank you, PXG.
All right, that should do it for us. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Tell your friends to tune in wherever you find your podcast, and we'll be talking more. Probably have another show this week as we lead up to the first round of the FedEx Cup playoffs at St. Jude's. In the meantime, for Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for joining us, and remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.